I want to thank God for our worship team. Always glad you're here. My good wife, Pastor Jeanette, my best friend. And by the way, Wednesday night, we're going to sit at the high top table again, do some team teaching. We've been teaching on Wednesday nights about what makes a family church a family. Last Wednesday, we talked about 16 characteristics of love out of the love chapter. And we are teaching it with a lot of our own experience. This Wednesday night, I want to give you characteristics of friendship. And I'm going to show some pictures of me and my good friend, Pastor Benit, how for friendship, how we pioneered a path to visit one of our most remote churches in Haiti, and where we had to go as far as we could go, four-wheel drive truck. Then we had to load all the supplies. We brought on donkeys, and we had to walk with the truck, with the donkeys. Even on foot, we had to ford rivers. Then it started pouring, raining, and we had to climb a mountain on foot. I think the whole trip took us about 8 hours, a whole day. And then we had to spend the night in a thatched hut on the top of this mountain with no electricity, no nothing, no showers, no bathrooms. And we did it out of friendship because, as Pastor Benit will say, life travels at the speed of friendship. So come on out Wednesday night if you would. I really appreciate my brother, Pastor Benit June. He is in charge of all the Gospel Crusade network of churches, about 200 churches in Haiti, about 20,000 children in school every day because of these church schools. His own school has over 1,000 students in it and growing. And he's got an orphanage on his campus, started in his house, and a church, a great church. And then he travels a lot as well. I want to say, you know, Haiti, as you know, about 12 years ago, 2010, there was a great earthquake over there. It took the lives of over 250,000 people that were crushed under collapsing buildings. Well, we're building all of our churches now to be earthquake-proof, putting heavier steel in them, taking those concrete roofs off of them, and putting... I'm going to show you some pictures Wednesday night. Don't have time to do it this morning, but come out if you'd like to see some of that. It'll show you just kind of what we do, not only in Haiti, but in other countries, building churches and helping humanitarian aid and so forth. And at the close of this teaching here with Pastor Benit, I think with this many people, we'll just pass the buckets again, give you an opportunity to give a missions offering. And you don't have to, but you get to. And I think to whom much is given, much is required. It's just hard to understand how blessed we are in this nation unless you get to travel to third world countries. I say send your teenagers there. Get them to a mission trip and let them see so they'd be more grateful. Amen. But God has blessed Pastor Benit with a hunger to raise up the next generation. He does a lot of teaching on leadership. Actually, in that great earthquake, he was taking some university classes, was in a university building in Port-au-Prince that collapsed with thousands of others. Three-story building that just pancaked. There was an instructor and other people in that classroom. They all died. A word spoke to Pastor Benit, don't run out that door with the rest of them. Instead, he ducked down under a desk, and that whole building pancaked, but one little cave opening for Pastor Benit to crawl out of. God saved his life that day. It wasn't his time. 5 years ago, and this is a problem right now in a lot of these countries now, gangs, drug cartel gangs are taking over the country. It's very dangerous. There's a lot of kidnappings going on. There's a lot of robberies, even home invasions. But 5 years ago, he got shot. Pastor Benit got shot in the chest. and robbed out on the streets. And that bullet is still lodged right next to his heart. It's too dangerous to do any operations around the lungs and the aorta vein. Not a vein. Artery. Yeah, thank you, all the doctors in the house. But I want to say that because I believe that God has spared this young man's life because he's not interested in coming to the States, you know, and living more comfortably. He's interested in making a difference in Haiti. And I appreciate that about him. He's not only educating these students, but there's a feeding program every day. A lot of these children only get one square meal a day, and that's when they come to school. And so I really want you to value Pastor Benit this time in a rare move. We talked about it. He brought his family here, his wife and three children. His oldest daughter is a teenager. She came to the youth camp. They've been here almost a month, took a month off. We asked them to take a month off and just relax, be encouraged and blessed and loved on so we could get our arms around them. Help me welcome Pastor Benit June.
Amen. Amen.
He brought his carry-on. He's got to leave pretty quick, right?
Yes.
You can be seated.
Amen. You may be seated. Oh, yoy, yoy. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hands of praise? What a pleasure to be here this morning to be with you. Thank you so much, Pastor Phil, for giving me the opportunity to come and to fellowship, break bread with the people of God, and to share the word also. It's a pleasure, and I'm so blessed, and I feel honored to be able to do this. I want to take this time to thank you, Pastor Phil and Pastor Janet, and the leadership for putting me up into the hotel, and they gave me a very nice suite. That's very, very, very nice. Really like it. And, you know, after Haiti has been going through so much and still going through so much, you know, it's unbelievable. And I've never seen my country so low in all my life. Kidnappings, gangs, all over the place. And people are living in fear. And most of the people right now that have some knowledge and that had a visa, they don't want to stay in Haiti. They just want to come. And even on my trip right here, I have a cousin that wants me to leave my children. Say, man, stay here. And some people have been telling me, you got to have your foot here, one foot here and one foot in Haiti. I said, you know, I don't want, if I come here, I'll probably be miserable because I believe this is not where God wants me. You know, to be where God wants me and make a difference, the difference that I need to do to make in my country. And I must tell you, it's not an easy place to live right now. But somehow, this is where my heart is. And it takes God, faith, to stay in that place. But God is in control. And that's what I count on, and that's why I am in that country right now. And I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity to come and rest, and that's a good thing. And I have people that took me to dinner. Thank you for doing this. And next time I come, do it more. And I want to thank Pastor Phil for taking me on the pontoon boat. So Pastor Janet went, we went and have a lunch somewhere. That was great, and we need to do that much more, Pastor Phil. And also, they let me use their car. And please always make sure that there's a car available for me or any missionaries that come from other places. Always do that, please. That's good. It helps me to move around with my family, and we really had a good time. And also, some people paid for our tickets to go to Orlando Universal. We can clap. And we stayed for one night there in a very nice hotel. And, you know, some people think that it's not good to do those kind of stuff, but I must tell you, it's good. It's very good. And, you know, growing up in Haiti, people think that it's okay. The poorer you are, the more spiritual you can be, and you don't need to enjoy that. Man, God created to be, you know, fun. Just have fun. So please help me have some fun whenever I come here. Yeah, let me now let you know when next time I'm here so that you can go to Universal and Disney and just go enjoy the ride. Oh, my goodness, those rides are crazy. Amen. So Pastor Phil talked about what we do in Haiti. We are about to build an expansion for our school. And, you know, I was telling him this morning that potential, whatever you did in the past is no longer your potential. Potential is always geared towards the future. So if you did it back then, it's no longer your potential. You get more, you get to do. It's further. So I used to work with half-inch iron, 5/8, and now the engineer told me that I need 3/4 of iron. That means big iron. So it's going to be big. We're just going to do something big. Bigger and bigger. Amen. So trust the Lord with me, and the engineer was telling me I'll need about 5 tons of iron that will cost about $1,900, the 3/4. And everything are expensive right now, almost double in Haiti. It's crazy. But the Lord is good, and he will help us to continue into what he had called us to do. So I give some pictures to Pastor Phil. Unfortunately, we cannot show them to you, but the Lord knows. Amen. I also brought some coffee for you from Haiti. My wife was telling me, when are you going to start bringing them? I said, man. Oh, yes, thank you. Yes. So this is how the building is going to look like. And this is the plan for the steel work for the foundation. And I have one last picture. Anyway, this is the building. Please clap for what the Lord is going to do. So when I get back, we'll start with the digging. We have a backhoe that will start digging, help us, and then start with the laying of the foundation. And also get back to buy some iron so that they can work on the pillars. So this building is going to be used for the primary school. And also, we want to start a university in the village of Vigne so that we can continue to train young people and add value to humanity and for God's kingdom. Amen? Amen. We can clap for the Lord because he's going to do great things. I was telling you that we brought you some coffee, Haitian coffee, strong one. And so for those that are weak, we can drink Haitian coffee. So, and also we have some vanilla out there that we loved bringing that for you guys and for donation, and you can grab one. I love when you are drinking Haitian coffee. Amen. I always want to come and encourage you with the word of God. I'm not an eloquent man. Everything that I do, I give him the glory. And I just pray that something that I'm sharing with you this morning will be a blessing to you. Amen? Oh, my goodness. Somebody allowed me to use their glasses, and I kept them. Anyway, I forgot mine. Joel 1 Verse 3. Tell your children about it, and let your children tell their children, and their children the next generation. Say with me, Lord, bless Brother Bennett. Help him to do a good job. In Jesus' name. Many times I'll come here and I'll hear Papa Destine, who have been in Haiti many times, and I interpreted for him many, many times in Haiti. He will say with a smile, you remember his smile? Very nice smile, sweet. We say that everything that the Lord has allowed him to do, he will do them. Even though that he always said, I don't know what I am doing, but I'll do it anyway, because this is what the Lord has asked him to do. And I begin to understand that sometimes, even when you're dead, you will not understand what you're doing. Because the impact of what you've done continue to happen even after you're done, you're gone. Papa Destine is gone. But even right now, he doesn't even know the full impact of the investment in Joel June in Haiti. He doesn't know the full impact of the investment that he had made when they ordained Pastor Benny Hinn, I've heard right here. He doesn't know the investment that he has made into Benny June. And Benny June doesn't even know what he's doing in Haiti. Because even when I'm gone, the thing that the Lord allows us to do will continue to impact people. So I want you to know, leaders here, I want you to know, my friends, my sisters, my brothers in the Lord, that you are influencing eternity. God thinks. He thinks in terms of generations, a much longer view. Sometimes God asks you to do certain things, and you think, oh, God asked me to do it for today. But whenever God asks you to do something, he has generations in view. Because God is in the business of influencing generations. The Bible talks about generations. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 39, it says, an evil and adulterous generation who craves for signs. That was John the Baptist talking. In Numbers 32, verse 13, it says, an entire generation had died in the desert because they had done evil in the Lord's eyes. Acts chapter 2, verse 40, Peter pleaded with them. He said, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Also, the Bible talks about generational curse, which is believed to be passed down from one generation to another due to rebellion against God, which is believed to be passed down. If your family line is marked by incest, poverty, anger, or ungodly patterns, you are likely under the generational curse. But the Bible says that these curses are tied to choices. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 says, we can either choose life or death. We can either choose blessing or cursing. If you choose life, you are not under those generational curses. If you choose life, if you choose blessing, you are not under those cursings. And I'm glad today that you have chosen life. Amen. You have chosen blessing. Even though the enemy, even though that may be our forefathers, they had put curses on us, but we are blessed today with the blessing of God. Amen? Because we have made the right choice to choose life and blessings. They also talk about generations. The today generation talks about different generations. According to Pew Research Center and U.S. Census Bureau, and based on widespread consensus, generations are defined by name, birth, year, and ages in 2022. Generations' names are based on when members of that generation become adults. Like, for instance, generation of World War II. They were born in 1922, 1927, and today they will be between 95 and 100 years old. Post-war, 1928, 1945, they will be 77 to 94 years old. Boomers 1, 1946, 1954, they will have 66 years of age. Boomers 2, 1955, 1964, they will be 58 to 67 years. Gen X, 1965, 1980, they will be 42 to 57. So I am a Gen X. Millennials, 1981, 1996, they will be 26 years to 41 years old. Gen Z, 1997, all the way to 2012. They will be between the age of 10 to 25. So some of the characteristics of the millennials generation. So each one of these generations, they have their characteristics. Depends on their value system. They have their own worldview. They have their biblical worldview. And it could be different in different countries, depend on education, technology, politics, economy, and so on. Some of the characteristics of the millennial generation. So they say that besides being the first generation to witness the advent of technology like the internet, virtual reality, and artificial intelligence, there are other character traits that millennials may share, such as they value meaningful motivation. They challenge hierarchical. My goodness, I have a hard time with this word. Hierarchy. Please say it for me. Hierarchy, statu quo. Thank you so much. There is a part that's left out, but that's okay. So they place its importance on relationships with superiors. So they have intuitive knowledge of technology. They are open and adaptive to change. They place importance on tasks rather than time. They have passion for learning. They value teamwork and social interaction in the workplace. These are the millennials. But we have also Gen Z. I don't have time to talk about baby boomers, post-world or before World One. We don't have much time to do that. But I'll talk about those two. So, this is what they say about Gen Z. Gen Z, they said that they are psychologically vulnerable. They tend to be anxious. They emphasize personal achievement. And when it comes to biblical worldview, Gen Z, they only 4% have a biblical worldview. And for the millennials, 6% have a biblical worldview. For the Gen Z, they live digitally as screenagers. They can't get rid of technology. They spend an average of 7 hours of entertainment on screen. High screen time tends to replace reading books, socializing with friends, and sleep. That is why they said that most of the Gen Z, they are depressed, lonelier, sadder. More Gen Z teens are identifying as LGBT. From 1990 and 2016, the percentage of adults Americans with bisexual experience during their lifetime tripled. They yearn for physical and emotional security. Gen Z grows up later in life, putting off responsibility. More and more teens don't have jobs. Even during the summer, most teens, Gen Z teens, don't have jobs. It drops from 70% in 1980 to 43% in 2010. They said that the Generation Z, they become more and more difficult to rely on others for solutions. They are self-reliant. This is what Socrates had taught society. To know yourself is the key to wisdom. Self-reliance is the path to personal success and significance. Epicurus, from 341 to 270 BC, claimed self-sufficiency is the greatest of all wealth. This man by the name of Ayn Rand said, "Man, every man is an end in himself, not a means to the ends of others. He must live for his own sake, neither sacrificing himself to others, nor sacrificing others to himself." And Steve Jobs famously advised, "Have the courage to follow your heart and intuition." It's a society that taught us, just believe in yourself. I agree that you can believe in yourself, but I agree too that it's not possible to succeed by yourself. You will always need others to help you succeed in life. Life goes at the speed of friendship. We need people. Millennials, Gen Z, I want you to know that people might talk bad about you, but I want you to know that you are fine. You are okay. You are just fine, because I've got good news for you. Even though that they say that you lack technology, and I'll tell you this to encourage you, even the generation before you, they get to love technology. Because I'll tell you this, I went to eat with somebody and they told me, come and use, the pool that we have. I went and they bought us some pizza. And Brother Joe Furaker, he was playing with his phone too. I saw him using his phone. So you're not only the only one. Pastor feel like he's fun too. So you thought you were the only one? No, you're not. Some other people do use their phone. They love technology. So what they said about Gen Z is that they can reach millions of people through social media. They always enact what they believe is a positive change. They use TikTok to send good messages. And I think they can use that as a great means to help change the world. I also want you to know that you're not only Gen Z Gen Y, you're not only generation World War II or World War I. We are also part of a bigger generation than all of this generation that they talk about. And I call this generation Gen GK. Gen GK. What does that mean? Generation of God's kingdom. Can we say that? Can we clap more for that? Maybe we should make some t-shirts with that. We are the generation of Gen GK, generation of God's kingdom. I am Benny June. I am Gen X, but I am also Gen GK. And Gen GK is beyond Gen X. I need to let Gen God's kingdom overpower Gen X. Amen. Let Gen GK overpower Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, Gen World 1 or World 2, whatever. We are all part of one generation. Gen Z, we are one generation. Kingdom of God's generation. We are of the generation of the just shall live by faith. We are of the generation that give by faith. We are of the generation that love by faith. I love people even when they hate me. I love people even when they discriminated me. I will open doors for anybody. I just don't care. Because I am from a different generation from today's generation. God's kingdom generation. I am the generation who believes in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the generation who believes that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. I am the generation we are saved by grace and through faith. We are the generations who believes in two genders, male and female. We can clap. We are the generation who believe in marriage between a man and a woman. We are the generation who believes that I can do all things through Christ. We are the generation who fights on our knees. When I fight on my knees with my hand lifted up, oh God, we know that the battle belongs to you. This is how we fight the battle on our knees. And this is the generation that we are part of. We are generous. We are handsome. We are beautiful. We are the generation who believe that we are gorgeous. Are you? Okay. I mean, I know what I'm talking about. I know that for the men, we are beautiful. We are handsome. For the women, we say, you are gorgeous. Eh? That's what we say. Eh? And by the way, I was in Canada and I was learning English. And when I was learning English, I've learned the word gorgeous. And I thought gorgeous means handsome. And I just kept saying to the guys, man, you are gorgeous. And one day I said to one guy, I said, man, you are gorgeous. And he looked at me like that. And then he began to explain to me, man, this is what it means when you say gorgeous. Let me say that to a man. If you are a man, anyway, I've been forgiven. You ladies, you are gorgeous. I'm the generation that believes that I am the head, not the tail. I contend with what I have. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed coming out. And I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed knowing that I'm in God's will and I'm going to stay in God's will. I am this generation. I am of the generation that believes that love should be, people should love one another. We should value one another. No matter what race or color. I'm the generation that believes that I have my value from the Father, the creator of the universe. Not my technology, not my knowledge, not my possession. I'm valuable. I'm important. I am somebody. Not because of anything that I have. Not because or where I come from, or where you come from. Never let anything in this world put a value on yourself. And I was thinking, man, why would those people that have so much money kill themselves? Man, millionaires are killing, committing suicide. Why? Because your value does not come from what you possess. And if you see me walking with a smile on my face, with my head lifted high, very proud of myself, it's because I have the Lord Jesus Christ as my Father. I got my value from Him. Amen. He possesses me. And I'm of that generation that believe in that. So we as people, we are as the older generation, when we talk about Gen Z, we have the responsibility to invest into them. We have the responsibility to watch as a sentinel over the generation after us. If we don't invest into them, the world is ready to do it. We as the church must invest into them. We have the responsibility to give them roots and wings. Roots means we have to help them build their character. It's the education of the heart. Any society that wants to move forward must educate their generation, must give them the education of the heart. And then we give them wings. We educate them in their mind. I want to give them that education. I want to give them roots. I want to give my children roots and give them wings. Build their character and help them to become successful in life. They say that the generation becomes more and more difficult to rely on others for solutions. A cartoon in Time on Newsweek pictured a man on his deathbed with family and friends and a media person gathered around. The caption reads something like this. Media person asked the question, what would you have done differently in your life if you could live over again? The dying man answered, I would have realized much earlier in my life that relationships are what life is all about. I would have learned and acted on that truth much sooner, and given much less attention to achievements and acquisitions. My friends, we are living in uncertain times. What's going on in America? What's going on in Haiti? It's incredible. I've seen shootings in America. the schools. I've heard Pastor Phil said it. They get rid of prayer. How can somebody get into a school and kill so many people? How come we have that? People get into hotels. People get into restaurants. People get into shopping mall and kill people. What's going on in Haiti is unbelievable. A little baby, 6 weeks old, who might require a heart balloon surgery. We all share in the human experience. We all have pain. We all have sadness, grief, lack of love. But there's hope. The battle is real. It is a fight for our soul. It is a fight to destroy your children. It is a fight to destroy your faith. Each one of us here have potential. It is a fight to destroy the potential that we have. The battle is real for every generation. The previous generation have the responsibility to share or sharing with the new generation how they got their successes, how they get their victories. We need to share our weaknesses. We need to share the different strategies that we use to win our battles. Somebody says that a young bird does crow until he hears the old ones. We need to tell them what we did or how we do it. Somebody says that 80% of life satisfaction comes from meaningful relationship. The more uncertain the times, the more we need to trust God's will. The more difficult the surgery, the more we need a skillful surgeon. The heavier the burden, the more we need a strong friend. Yes, we all do mistakes. We all make mistakes. We all are going to make mistakes. But we don't have times to make all the mistakes we should have made in life. That's why, if you want to succeed, you take the time to learn from the mistakes of others. We should take the time to learn from the failures of others. Get together with them. Open your ears. Sometimes I'll be in presence of people. I just close my mouth and open my ears so that they can speak to me. I don't want to pretend that I know everything. I just want to learn from the people that have been doing more than me. They say that in life you need at least three people. You need a Paul. You need somebody that's been into the laboratory of life. Somebody that knows more than you. Somebody that traveled more than you. Somebody that read more books than you. Somebody that had more experiences than you. You need somebody like that, older than you. You need a Barnabas, an exhorter. Somebody who is not afraid to tell you anything. If you blow it, he will tell you that you blow it. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. He will not flatter you. He will tell you the truth. He will exhort you. And the third category of people that you need to have in your life, you need a Timothy, somebody that you can invest into everything that God has given you. We need people in our lives. I've heard T.D. Jakes said a message that he preached about Jonathan and David. Jonathan was not raised in the palace. Jonathan was raised in the palace. But David didn't. But you plan to go into the palace. Learn from Jonathan. He knows the protocol of the palace. He's been on the other side of the wall. Try to get his mind. Let me know how it happens in the palace, because he's been there before you. We don't have the time. We cannot make all the mistakes in life that we should do. We got to learn from other people's mistakes, from their failures. How you think you're going to be able to do this? How are you going to avoid some of the mistakes in life? Some researchers have found that the success of any individual, a team, or an entire organization depends largely on the quality of the relationships. It's action plus relationships equal results. Relationship with God, relationship with other people, and then actions. You know, I've heard people say God is able to do anything. God will not do it by himself. He is sovereign. He can do it by himself. But sometimes God wants you to do some action. You know, my wife was telling me, you know, when are you going to keep bringing coffee and vanilla? But I remember Pastor Phil told me something. Keep bringing them. Because whenever I bring them, I connect with people. I relate with people. And when I relate with people, faith comes into action. So whenever you relate with people, God will give wisdom in that connection. And whatever you thought was very difficult becomes easy, because life goes at the speed of friendship, of relationship. Amen? How are you going to avoid some of the mistakes in life? Delete some people into your life. Sometimes deleting some people in your life makes space for better people who deserve you. I want to go where I'm welcome. Thank you, Pastor Phil. Thank you, Christian Retreat. Thank you, all of you that are watching, and you make me welcome here. I told you, I am somebody. I'm not somebody because of what I know, what I know. You treat me as kingdom people. Thank you for not watching, for not looking at me because I'm from a third world country. I might come from Haiti, but I told many times that I don't have a third world mentality. I can see your level of Christianity by the way you treat me. Amen. We are kingdom people. Amen. Amen. So there are some people we have to delete in our hard drive. Just delete them. Just make better space for people who deserve you. Stay away from negative people. They have a problem for every solution. Be positive. Be optimistic. I'll tell you this. What's going on in Haiti right now, only the Lord can keep me, can help me to stay optimistic and positive. If people are toxic, don't stay in their presence. If you know they are toxic, don't bring them into your presence. Even into your home. I pray if you bring them into your home, I pray the Lord gives you the wisdom and the boldness to train them. And tell them that over here we don't do this. With wisdom, we are kingdom people. There are certain things that we don't allow to happen, even in our home. We don't bring toxicity. You got it. I'm asking you, Gen Z, to bring the blessing of the older generation into your life. I'm almost done. The best leaders have mentors. You got to have people in your life. You cannot live your life by yourself. Even though they teach you, or they teach us self-reliance, but we are people of the kingdom. I need you as a brother. I think Sandipati sing that song, "You're my brother, you're my sister, take me by the hands. I cannot do it without you." I was traveling to Haiti one time, and I had my big suitcases underneath the plane. And I was coming from Canada with my carry-on with me. And I tell you, I've been traveling for a long time. And I know how to pack. I'll pack all my goodies in my carry-on. Sometimes I'll buy fans, ceiling fans, and I'll put some of the parts inside here, the ones that are very fragile. And one time, I was traveling, and I put $5,000 that they gave us to drill a well in Haiti. And I put it into the suitcase. The carry-on, I mean. Sometimes you put your new phone into the carry-on. Your fragile stuff. And sometimes you have jewelry. You put it in that thing. Goodies, you put it into the carry-on. And I was in group 9, the last group to get on the plane. And usually, when you go into Haiti, people want to bring all kinds of stuff. And sometimes they tell the people to bring one suitcase, one carry-on, and a little bag. And you should see their second bag. Because they want to bring stuff. Whenever it is a full flight, the overhead compartment is filled with carry-ons of the people in the 6th or the 7th first groups. So if you are in group 8 or 9, you're in trouble. So when I get to the bridge, they told me, "Sir, you are in group 9, and you cannot take your carry-on on the plane." Unfortunately, I gave my carry-on. Sometimes they will tell you if you have, you know, good stuff, take it out. But back then, I did not think about this. If I had opened, I had my suitcase so packed. Don't ask me to open it. Because if I had to open it, I have to rearrange a bunch of stuff. I didn't want to do this. And I gave my carry-on away. And when I got to Haiti, and I looked for the $5,000, and the envelope was not there. They stole it. I don't know where they stole it. I don't know where. But it was not there. Let me tell you something. Many of you have your carry-on with you. You have your jewelry, your watch, cash, prescriptions. You carry some important pieces in that carry-on, important papers. You have a part that you don't need to break, and you know how to carry that bag. And now, they take it down. They just toss it. Without knowing that we have some special stuff there that can break. You have so much potential in that bag. You don't need to go through the rearrangement of the carry-on, especially if you pack it like me. So when you are in that plane and you give that carry-on underneath, you're going through the stress of flying. That's one thing. Beside the stress of flying, you have the turbulences. I know you like turbulences. Sometimes you are cold in the plane. Sometimes you're boring. Sleeplessness. And on top of all of that, you have the stress of your carry-on underneath the plane. Your potential underneath the plane. This is what I want to tell you today. I really would like to help save you from the pain of getting your suit, your carry-on underneath. Gen Z, millennials, different generations, I want to help you. You're okay, but I want to help you today. We are of the same family. We'll get there together because we are family. I know that you are parked with potential in your carry-on, and I want to help you. I had all these tickets. One for me, my family, Daisy, Ruby, and Zoe. This one says group 6. And this one says group 9. I am the father. Because of all my traveling, I have an advantage member that I can travel in group 6. It's so true that they are in group 9, but I'm in group 6. That means you can come with me. You don't have to be in group 9. You don't have to give your potential and get somebody to steal your potential. Let me tell you something, Gen Z. The world is ready to steal your potential. You have so much potential that you don't need. You don't have to go through losing so much of your potential. You can come with us. We are in group 9. We are in group 6. Come with us. come with us. That's why this morning I'm telling you that instead of going through, yes, there are some problems that you're going to go through because the problems are real. But you don't have to go all the way for 2 hours, for 3 hours, for 5 hours, for 6 hours, for 7 hours. Flight. Having this on your mind, what are you going to do with my suitcase or with my carry-on? Am I going to break my potential? Are they going to take my envelope? Those kids have so much that they need to do for the world. And we need to help them. We need to spare them. True. Whoever is watching me right now, young people, I want you to try to find somebody in the previous generation and tell them that I want you to be my mentor. And they're going to help you because they're in group 6 and you're in group 9. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Pastor Phil, get ready to come with me, to come here, please, and help me do this. I want to ask all the people here today that are in the previous generation, before the millennials and the Gen Z, all the Gen Z are going to choose somebody from the previous generation and say, I want to choose you to pray for me. Advise me however you want to. Please let me know how you'd make it, how you did it. How did you succeed? How you get here? Tell me some of your stories. I love you so much. I'd love to see you succeed in life. And that was my word for you today. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
God keeps you. Amen.
Hallelujah. He's actually asking for some of us older, wiser ones to come line up in the front. Just come on down if you'd like to be a mentor, spiritually speaking, a mentor to somebody. Just come down to the front and line up next to me here. And we're going to close out in prayer. You don't all have to do this, but come down and join me. Brother Bill. Brother Bill. Any more Bills in here? Gary. And we're just going to make this as an illustration, you know, and thank you for your patience. We're taking a little more longer here this morning than maybe usual, but in the scheme of eternity, this is nothing. Okay, that's good. And he was talking about Generation X, Generation Z. Just invite you and to come down and stand in front of one of these. Just again, as a symbol of what we need to see happening in our homes. I tell you what, parents, don't hesitate to step out and be bold and mentor your children. Don't believe that they're not interested. Don't take their comments or their lack of interest to suggest that they're not interested, because they are. They're just looking for you to love them enough, care enough to be there for them and offer that. So Generation X and Z, that's, school age, right? School age. Let's all stand and just take a moment. Come on down. Is it 50-year-olds? Okay, not X. We're talking about Z and millennials. Come on down, stand in front of somebody. Let's all stand. We'll give you room to come out, you know. And then we're just going to pray. And I'm going to pray that what this will do is give you all a vision for your place in the world today. You know, I was troubled by some of the stuff I've seen that's coming out in textbooks of what our children and teens are being taught in school, that's bringing gender confusion, you know, where they're reading now in textbooks that there is not just male and female, you know, that basically you are whatever you feel you are. And I believe that we need mentors, spiritual mentors, that will pray and reach out to the school-age generations. Okay. Between 10 and 41 is millennials. 10 to 25, Gen Z. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right. It's not Gen X. It's Gen Z that we're calling out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. If you're at your seat, raise your hands with me. Father, we all see our place, Lord, that we need to function effectively in the world today. Father, I pray, Lord, let us rise up. Lord, let the younger generation be willing to be mentored, be willing to hear and to learn from others' mistakes. Lord, let the older generation be willing to speak up, be willing to pray, be willing to be there. Father, we take this word today. Lord, we don't want to be hearers only, but help us, Father, to find that place to function in ministry. Lord, I call the body of Christ to be able ministers of the Spirit. Lord, we're not going to stand back and be hearers only. We're not going to just watch things happen. But Lord, by your Spirit, help us to be participators, to make things happen, to offer prayer, to reach out, to get our arms around people. Father, for the younger generation, to reach out and say, I need help. I need advice. Lord, I pray, Lord, let this church family, Lord, function effectively by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I hear you playing this song. It says, the lyric this song says, I give myself away so you might use me. Here I am. Here I stand. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I long to sing with the words. Your desire revealed in me. So I give myself away. Yeah.